Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
This morning, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, celebrating communion. If you did not get your elements and you want to raise your hand to make sure you get them, we're going to be using them at the end of our service. Looks like maybe everybody got theirs. And if you're online, we'll give you you'll have a bit of time to prepare some in your home as well. Some of you may have noticed that I have a split lip today. I learned a valuable lesson yesterday, guys. Yes, last Sunday we're celebrating Mother's Day, of all things, or just recently. And now, you know, I learned something you never say to your wife. Never say, "Yeah, now what do you want?" It may not work out so good for you. No, that didn't really happen. Although she likes to threaten that she's going to hit me again there now. But I ran a 5K yesterday. Hadn't done one for a little while. So I did a 5K, and I had a battle with a rock. And the rock won. So, but I did finish, by the way, Trevor. I finished. Yeah. But it wasn't fast, and it wasn't pretty. But I did get there. Anyway, it was a great cause. It's for U.S. vets. It's an organization that helps to provide housing and the help that veterans need to get them off the street who are fighting homelessness. So not only taking care of vets just to have a place to live, but also with the counseling and the kinds of training and things that they need. Interesting, right here in our county, U.S. Vets houses 161, I believe, veterans every night, provides a place for them to sleep in a safe place in Prescott. And they broke ground on Saturday on 60-some individual units at the VA for homeless vets to be able to stay there for the long term. So be in prayer for what they do. They do very good work. So all that being said, let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts today now as we open your word, as we think about what it means to live in the power that only you can give to us. So Father, speak now, and we pray that Jesus will be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting a new sermon series today, only 4 weeks long, but the more power to you is what I'm calling it. And so it's designed that you might experience and that we might experience God's power through faith-filled living. And so in other words, we're going to be talking about tapping into the potential of faith in your life. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And needless to say, the Bible says a lot about faith. Now, you don't have to turn very far to find the Bible talking about faith. For example, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, we have been justified through faith. So we can't please God without faith. We can't be justified, made right with God without faith. And then in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." And so there are endless possibilities that come with faith. And so faith becomes a major part of God's word and should be of our lives. And we learn over the course. We're going to learn over the course of these 4 weeks that we're going to spend together that your faith is not just a list of things to believe. Certainly there is belief involved with that, but it's not just a list. And if I can just get this list down and believe those things, I'm going to be okay with God, and my faith is just going to continue to grow. That's not what faith is. It's not just about how you think. It does something different. Faith determines what you do. It's going to determine what you do in your life. Not only is it going to determine what you do, it is going to determine what you say. The kinds of words you're going to use, the sentences that are going to come out of your mouth, the way you're going to encourage others with your vocabulary, all of those types of things happen because of faith. It is what you experience. It is the experiences that you're going to have with God's power in your life. And ultimately, it is about what you're going to get out of life. And we're going to see that in today's memory verse even. As you believe, be it so unto you. And so what you're going to experience in life is going to be based on your faith level and how you are growing in faith. And so we're going to spend these 4 weeks looking at ways to refine our faith, to increase our faith. We're going to look at how to put faith into action in a way that actually will please God. That's my goal and what we're going to be looking at these weeks. And we have some people over the years who preached about faith in a way that tries to justify selfishness and tries to justify somehow materialistic lifestyles, and we know that's off base. There's just something about that if we find somebody who is talking about that and preaching about that, it just kind of rankles our back, doesn't it? And that's not what we're talking about today. That's because there are some guys getting it wrong, though doesn't give us an excuse for not getting it right. And so we want to make sure we got this faith thing down pat. And so the fact is that when you walk in faith, you experience the blessing of God in your lives. And more importantly, when you walk in faith, you're empowered to be a blessing to other people. And so as you grow in your faith, you have an opportunity to be able to touch people around you in ways that you would not be able to do that in a positive way. And that's really what faith is about. So today, we're kind of opening this series of the message that I'm going to challenge you to develop a faith-based living lifestyle. And I want to challenge you to begin expecting the blessing of God in your life. So the challenge, as you begin to expect that, I want you to expect a few things. I want you to learn to expect that God will help you. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever challenges you have, whatever frustrations you may have, whatever struggles you may have, God will help you. Also, I want you to begin to focus on the fact that not only will He help you, He will protect you. God's desire is to protect you, and God will use you. Sometimes, as a believer, you might think, well, there's nothing I can do that God can use. What am I good for? You know, I come to church, and I sit, and I sing, and I listen, but what is it that God could use me for? Your faith will help you discover that. God will use you. God has no believers that He won't use. If you're a Christian, God will use you. But it's going to be determined very much on what your faith level is, how you are growing in your faith. And then God will not only just use you, He is going to work through you. You're going to see God doing things through you that you never dreamed possible, perhaps. But that all comes with a life of increasing faith, experiencing the power of God. And so in spite of all the obstacles that you may be facing today right now, God wants to use you. And we come to Matthew chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 9, we read about some miracles that Jesus performed, and we see what faith can do. And we're just going to focus today on one of those miracles that happens. But there is a story of the paralyzed young man, remember, who was brought to Jesus by his four friends, got to the house, couldn't get in. They took him up on top of the house, put a hole in the top of the house, which the owner may not have been too happy about, but then lowered him down at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus healed that young man based on the faith of the young man. And so we saw that. We see in the story of the suffering woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus said to her, "Your faith has healed you." And we see the story of the synagogue ruler. We learn in Mark's gospel that his name was Jairus, and whose daughter had died, and he came to him, to Jesus, and Jesus came to the man's home and raised the little girl from the dead. So we see these magnificent displays of miracles that Jesus is performing based on people's faith. And now we come to what Matthew shares as a very brief story about two blind men who asked Jesus to heal them. Just two guys. And they asked Jesus to heal them, and Jesus did. And he also taught a lesson about faith. So it's a short story, and we're going to look at it. So we start in verse 27. And in verse 27, we read, "As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.' And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came into him, and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, 'According to your faith, will it be done to you.' And their sight was restored." And so today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that story in particular. And today, if you're in need of a miracle, and that's quite possible, I don't know any of us that would say, "God, I don't want a miracle in my life." Maybe God's speaking to you today. And so let's discover some of the things that are there. You might need sight restored. You might need health restored today. You might need your finances restored, your family restored, your business restored, your hope restored. All of those types of things are things that God is concerned about and that God can deal with in your life. And he has miracles that he can do. But there's an element of faith that's involved in any of those things happening. And so today, as we jump in today, we're going to look at three principles of living in faith here in this passage in Matthew chapter 9. The first principle that we need to learn is that the vacancy in your life is a call to start living in faith. That vacancy is a call to start living in faith. See, where your provision ends, where you think I'm at the absolute end of my resources, I don't know what else to do, I'm not sure what I can do, but where your provision ends is where your faith can begin. When you know the only thing you have is faith left, God said, "Okay, this is a good starting point now. Glad you finally got there." I don't know why we want to wait till we use up all of our provision before we come to God. But mostly that's what we do, isn't it, if we're honest? We think, "Man, I still have some resources. I got a little bit of gas in the tank still, and so I'm going to get to the very end. Then I'm going to say, 'God, now can you help me?'" And it will. You'll begin. But the good news is that your faith can begin at the beginning, too. You can say, "God, I just want to see this work in my life." And so, but if you're at that point where everything seems to be gone, where you're just sucking air now at this point, your faith begins at that point. The vacancy and these two men's lives was really obvious. They're blind. So, you know, nobody had to guess what do they need, what do they want. Jesus didn't have to do that either. And so everybody knew what it was, and they couldn't see. And this was not a problem that they can solve for themselves. And many of you can attest to that. When the doctor tells you that you're blind, there's very little that they can do. And they, these guys were at that point. There was no new doctor to go to. There were no, you know, cures on Facebook or anywhere else. There were, their provision was gone. And they were in desperate straits at that point. And they were in need of a miracle. And it was at that point of their need that they had this opportunity to start living in faith. And that's the same way for many of you, for most of us. You have a vacancy in your life, and you have a need that isn't being met. And I know that for some of us, that vacancy is in the area of personal relationships. Either there aren't very many of them, or the ones we have aren't healthy. They're not good relationships. And so we struggle with that, and we think, where can I go to get help? I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything that I can think of, and there's just no answer to this. And it's a really tough thing. And so you want to share your life maybe with someone or some people, and you just kind of look and say, who are my people, or who's that one person that I can have a relationship with? And life becomes very lonely and very dark at that point. And so those relational issues become major. Some of you may be struggling with a financial situation or a job situation. You've done everything you can do, and it just isn't enough. Either what you're getting isn't enough, or you need a job and you just can't find a job. And what you're getting in help and assistance just doesn't get it. And it's at that point of helplessness that you have the opportunity to start living in faith. To say, God, I've tried everything else, and I'm sorry for not coming to you first, but I'm coming to you now. And I want to grow in that faith. I want to see you work a miracle in my lives. And God allows those vacancies sometimes to occur in our lives so that we can come to him at that point. Because God could intervene at any point, but he chooses most of the time to let us play out that scenario of saying, I'm going to try everything else I can, and finally you come to that emptiness and that vacancy is there. But when you learn to trust God, at that point, the power, his power, is demonstrated in our lives. Sometimes it takes that before God is going to say, okay, now that you've come to me in faith, now that you are trusting me, not trusting your checkbook, not trusting all of the things you read about on the internet, not trusting all of the people in your neighborhood or in your family who are giving you weird advice, but now you're coming to me, he says, okay, now you can sit back and see my power demonstrated in your life and in those areas. And so maybe if you're feeling helpless about anything, is there something missing in your life? Do you have a vacancy that can't be filled with your own strength? Then here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'm going to give you a couple of encouragements today, or assignments. And the first one I'm going to encourage you to do, and I'll admit it's a little bit risky, but it's worth it. If you'll take the risk, I want you to start expecting God to do something about it. Whatever that vacancy is, I want you to begin right now and say, okay, God, I am going to expect you to do something in this area. Not only that, I want you to remind yourself that God is in control. God, I'm expecting you to do something in this area because you are in control of everything. You're in control of my life. You're in control of that area where I have a vacancy. So God, I am trusting you to do something in that area. And I want you to remind yourself that he loves you, that God loves you, and he wants to provide for you. So you're telling God, God, I'm expecting you to do something in this area of my life where there's a vacancy, and I'm reminding myself, God, that you're in control, and that, God, you love me, and that you want to provide for me. Why would you do that? Because you need to know and to reinforce the fact that God has not forgotten you. Satan will come and say, see, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. God can't do anything for you. God may not even be real. And you need to keep reminding yourself that Scripture says, yes, God is real, God is true, God is powerful, God is in control, and He loves me, and He's promised that He's going to provide for me, that He's going to take care of me, that that is His desire. And you reminding yourself also that God is waiting for you to turn to Him. And so when you start taking that risk of saying, God, I am expecting you to do something, you're saying, God, I really believe that you are going to do something, and I'm waiting for you, and I am turning to you right now. And that means you are starting to trust Him. You are now trusting Him. And when you trust Him is when you get to begin to see that provision of His power in your life. And so you say, okay, God, I am now trusting you, and you are beginning to put your faith in His power and not yours. His power and not your checkbook's power. His power and not your physical power or your spiritual power. You're saying, God, I am trusting you because you're God and I'm not. And so you're saying, God, here is my faith. And this vacancy in your life, that sense of helplessness, because that's what happens when you are completely vacant of any power or any resources in your life. There's this hopelessness and this helplessness creeps up in your life. Is a call to put your faith into action. It is at that point where God is saying, okay, let's see what your faith will do. Begin to live on the basis of your faith. And so the first principle is the vacancy in your life is a call to start living in faith. The second principle is that God will respond to your faith. That truth comes ringing through. If I will begin to trust God in the area of this helplessness in my life and this vacancy that is there, and I say, God, I am putting all of my trust in you, I'm putting all of my apples in your basket. This is it. I'm not going anyplace else. Then God will respond. That is His promise. He will respond to you. And you are now trusting Him to do that. And we see that in every one of these miracle stories in chapter 9 here in Matthew. We see God doing that in every one of their lives. And especially in the story of these two blind men. Jesus asked them again in verse 28, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, well, duh, we came in here. Yes, we do. Just walking in the door into that house where Jesus just walked into and they follow Him in, they were saying, yeah, we do want you to do this. And He's just clarifying. He said, are you sure you're going to believe this? And they said, yeah, we do. We believe that you could heal our sight. And then verse 29, then He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith, He said, now it's going to be done. Notice that he didn't say according to your needs. It's not according to your needs. They could have walked in blind and walked back out blind. They would have still had that same need. It's never just about your needs. He doesn't say, okay, I weighed your needs in the balance and your needs are really bad now. They're, you know, the bad stuff is really outweighing the good stuff. So I'm just going to step in and do some things now for you. Because we all know that there are some times when God says no. And when God says, you know, I'm going to take care of you, but not the way you think. And it's not always based on our needs. And ultimately, unless Jesus comes again, something's going to take us out of this world. We're all going to pass away. And it's not because God doesn't love us and God couldn't make sure we continue to live. So it's not just a need to continue living or existing. God says it's not just about your needs. So it's not that he's looking at your needs, and it's not according to your wants. Because goodness knows we all have a lot of wants. I want, or I wish I had, or I want this to happen, or why can't it be like this? We all have a bunch of wants, and God doesn't say, well, I'm waiting for your wants to be right. So it's not your needs, it's not your wants. He says, I will heal you, what? Not according to your needs, not according to your wants, but according to your faith. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a long list of needs, not looking for a long list of wants. I already know what all those are. You're not surprising Jesus with any of those. He said, I am looking at your faith. Let me see your faith. According to your faith, it's going to be done. He's saying, he's saying that you're going to receive from God what you expect to receive. If you're not expecting anything, that's pretty much what you're going to get. But if you're expecting God to work in certain areas of your life, he says, that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to receive. And these men received their sight because they had faith that Jesus could and that he would heal them. So they said, you know, the need is to be able to see, but the faith is what's going to make it happen. And so he acted in accordance with their faith. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What are you expecting from God right now? You might even want to write that down somewhere in that page or in your Bible, or make a mental note of it. I would say you could type it into your phone, but I just told you to turn it off, so you can't do that. But what are you expecting? Are you expecting God to do anything? Have you even thought about that in the last week? Last month? Last quarter? Maybe not even this year at all? Are you expecting him every day to do something? It's okay to expect. It's okay to talk to him about what you're expecting. It's okay to write down, God, I expect you to, and then fill in the blank. These are things, God, that I can't do. These are things that I don't have resources to do. These are areas where there's vacancy in my life, where there are no resources. And so, God, I expect you. I'm expecting you to do these things. Another way of saying that is, what do you believe that he will do for you? What do you believe God could do? I would think that most of us won't admit it, but we probably at some point said, even God can't fix this in my life. I don't even want to go talk to him because this is too big. It will never happen. It just can't be done. And so we don't even ask. When we came to you with that all may hear, we said, here is a big expectation. Based totally on faith, because we had no resources for what it was going to cost. We had a big vacancy there. We had a big need there. But it wasn't the fact we had a need for a new sound system. It was because we had faith. We said, God, we don't know how that you're going to do this, but we expect you to do it. A lot of members tell me, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Then people say, you can't do that. You can't ask for $140,000 for a sound system. So God, we expect you're going to do this. There's a vacancy here in this area of our corporate life. And we're just going to trust you. We're going to see what you're going to do. And so what do you believe that he's going to do for you? Do you say in your heart, there's no way that he could bring someone special in my life, maybe, or he's no way he can get me into a group of people that are going to be my people, and I can hang out with them, and I get to know them and do life with them. There's no way God will provide for me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. I'm so unworthy. And I'm challenging you to raise, I want you to raise that level of your expectations. To say, yeah, I am going to expect God to do something that's way out of my comfort zone. Way beyond anything I could ever imagine that he would do for me. So I want you to look at the needs in your life, but I want you to do so with a caveat. I want you to look at the needs and practice saying something at the same time. So you begin to look at the needs, maybe write them down, and then I want you to begin to say some words about them. I want you to practice saying, God can do something about this. I don't know what it is. I don't know how he's going to do it. But if he chooses to, he can do something about this. Because I have no other options to go to. So God, I don't know what you want to do, but I want you to do something. And so I'm going to admit to you, God, you can do something about this. And say to yourself also, he will do something about this. If he can do it, and he can do anything he wants, then he will do what we are asking. He will do what our faith is giving evidence of. And so we begin to have faith. And so we say that. And we say to him, God, I am trusting in you. God, you can do something about this. God, I believe you will do something about this. And God, I am trusting in you to do something about this. Whatever that is in your life, whatever that need is, physical, relational, financial, spiritual, whatever it is, what do you expect God to do? And then begin to talk to him about that in your prayer time. And we see that again and again and again in the Gospels. Jesus responds to faith. Not just in Luke or in Matthew chapter 9, but all through the Gospels, we see God doing that same thing through Jesus Christ. God in Jesus doing what God can only do. And that's why I said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And then it's also why he said in Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21, he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that's why in today's story, in verse 29, he says, according to your faith, will it be done to you. God responds to faith. He responds to your faith. And if you've never seen him respond, then I'm going to tell you that's probably what the issue is. You're not responding. You're not asking in faith. You need to up your faith. So you say, Pastor, what does that mean? What kind of faith does God respond to? That's the question we'll be considering over these 4 weeks. But let me share a couple things with you. Specifically, where faith begins. Faith begins with an attitude of expectation. Begins with an attitude of expectation. What am I expecting? God's waiting to see what you're expecting. So where is your expectation level? What are you expecting God to do? Even when the bottom is falling out from underneath of you, faith is having confidence that God will be able to see you through, that he is not going to leave you dangling. And so that expectation is that God will work things out for the best. An Indian philosopher said this. He said, faith is the bird. Faith is the bird that feels the light and sings when the dawn is still dark. When everything is still dark, you're singing about the light that's coming. When everything's dark in your life, Your faith is a song that's singing about what's coming. You don't wait till the light comes. You don't say, okay, God, you just make things happen and then I'll believe you. I'll trust in you when you make my life all better, when you've solved all these problems in my life. He says, I want you to thank me. I want you to sing about me. I want you to acknowledge and to expect that what I'm going to do when you don't see the answer yet, because it's too dark in your life right now. It is still vacant in your life right now. But you begin to acknowledge who God is and what he can do and what he will do. And you're saying, God, I don't have to see it before I can believe it. So God, I'm trusting in you right now. It always begins with expectation. And then also faith includes corresponding actions. It's going to include corresponding actions. And I know I didn't have room to put all those blanks in there, but you can fill them in somewhere if you want. But there's got to be some action on your part. There's some corresponding actions that will take place. The miracles and the stories of Matthew here in chapter 7, or 9 rather, each person Jesus healed put themselves in a position to be on the receiving end of a miracle. The paralyzed man's friends brought him to Jesus and lowered him down. The suffering women, a woman inched her way through the crowd to be able just to touch the edge of his garment. And then the synagogue leader invited Jesus into his house. I mean, think about that. It was the Pharisees, the synagogue leaders, who wanted to kill Jesus. And one of them chose to have faith and to trust and to say, Jesus, I know that we have been saying all kinds of lies about you and we're trying to figure out how to kill you, but right now I need you. I need you to be the Messiah, and I'm trusting that's who you are. Would you come into my house and heal my daughter? That's what they were doing. The two blind men approached Jesus not once, but twice. And when they saw him in the street, they began following after him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. We don't deserve it. We don't see how you're going to do it, but could you please have mercy on us? You don't wait for the light to come. So what were these two guys doing? They were positioning themselves for a miracle. He said, we don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know how it's going to happen. But when it does, we want to be ready for it. We want to be in the right place to have that miracle happen. They knew they would never be healed if Jesus was on one side of town and they were on the other. They had to get to where he was. They had to get into his presence. And not only that, they knew that they would never be healed if he was inside and they were outside. And so they kept after him and followed him right into the house. Jesus, have mercy on us. We're doing all we can do. We can position ourselves in your presence. When you're expecting that miracle to come, do you put yourself in his presence? Do you put yourself in a place where you're saying to him, see, I don't know what else to do but to come and be at your feet? A place to begin. Find a way to be at the feet of Jesus when you need that miracle. You have to look for ways to demonstrate that faith. You want God to save your marriage? Start taking steps to put yourself in a position where God can bring it to pass. Start talking to your spouse and treat your spouse as if you were already happy in your marriage. Just start living that lifestyle that you expect God to produce in your life. Faith begins with an attitude of positive expectation in the goodness of God. And we all are able to do that if we choose to. Most of us choose to whine and moan. We complain. You ever realize that? Baptists are good complainers. Not just Baptists. All people are. We complain about everything. We complain about the weather. We complain about the temperature. We complain about the pews. We complain about the colors. We complain about everything. It's as if we have this special button inside of us that God put there. Thou shalt complain. No, that's not what he is. That's not it. You know why? Because whining and moaning about your need or what you want that you don't have isn't good enough. That's not what God is looking for. He doesn't say, according to your complaints, according to your moaning, according to your groaning, be it done to you. That's not how I'm going to answer. That's not going to get you the answers that you want. God cares about your needs, and he wants to meet them. He really does. And he cares about the desires of your heart, and he wants to give them to you. And there's no question about that, but I want you to understand that he responds to one thing, and it's your faith. That's what he's going to respond to. Are you going to show faith? Are you going to live faith? And that brings us to the third principle that we need to learn today. That third principle is that you can only go as far as your faith is strong enough to take you. You're not going to go any further than that. You're not going to go any further in your spiritual life. You're not going to go any further in your emotional life, in your physical life, in your relational life, in your financial life. You're going to go as far as your faith will take you. And that's as far as you're going to get. Jesus came into some, a gentleman came into some money a few years ago, and he'd been plagued for some time with financial troubles, and he'd already failed in business a couple of times, and he had a little windfall that came along, an opportunity to build some financial security. The problem was that he never believed that he was the kind of guy that could be financially secure. His whole life, he'd never been that person, so he figured that's just who he was. He'd never be financially secure. So when he got this windfall, he made some foolish investments. He bought a Corvette, and within a couple of years, he was dead broke again. And he said to a close friend, he said, "What else would you expect from me? I've never been good with money." God says, it's not about your abilities that he answers our prayers. It is about your faith. You know why that happens? We see that happen a lot, by the way. Lottery winners, athletes, professional athletes who come into a lot of money. You know why almost all of them end up dead broke within a very short time? They end up broke because in spite of their improved circumstances, they never learn to change their expectation about what is possible for them. They never see that God could begin to use their lives in different ways. In the Message version of the Bible, Jesus' words to the blind men are expressed in a unique way. In verses 28 and 29 again, here in Matthew, it says this: when Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." I want you to maybe underline those words, "become what you believe." That's another way of expressing that phrase, "according to your faith, be it done to you." This is happening right now. I want you to know that. Right here in this building. This is happening. Right here where we're sitting. This is happening right now to each one of us. Not just the person next to you, but to each one of us. You are becoming what you believe. Every one of us right now is becoming what we believe. You don't have to look at your neighbor. You don't have to look at your spouse. You don't have to look at the person in front of you. Just look at you. Because right now, where you're sitting, you are in the process of becoming. And you are becoming exactly what you believe. Not any more, not any less. You are becoming what you believe. If you believe God is for you, if you believe that He's working out the details in your life and even the difficult situations in your life for your good and for His glory, then you will experience that in your daily life. You are becoming that person who will experience that kind of victory. If you believe that God is waiting to pour out His blessings upon you and He's eager to fill your life with good things, then you will experience that. You will be a person who experiences those blessings in your life because you are becoming what you believe right now. And you're going to become what you believe according to your faith. It will be done to you, Jesus said. And if you can only go as far in life as your faith is strong enough to take you, before you get to that financial windfall, before that special person enters your life maybe, or before that job opportunity comes along, you need to develop a deep and abiding faith in the goodness of God. What good things can God and will God do in my life? What am I expecting Him to do? Your circumstances will not change you. It's your faith in God that will change you. It is not whether some money is poured into your checking account or not. It is your faith that's going to change you. And you will become what you believe, and it is your faith in God that will change your circumstances. New York Times a while back published a report about a study done by a group of doctors in Texas. The study was interesting. It focused on patients who required knee surgery. Anybody in here ever have knee surgery? Yeah, let's say about half of us, right? I have, but half of you have. I probably almost got some yesterday, but I didn't have to. I needed to learn how to duck. It's what I needed to. But two groups of patients received different kinds of medical treatment. A third group received a pretend surgery in which no procedure was actually done. Can you imagine that? We took you in for surgery, but we really didn't do anything, but they didn't tell them they didn't do anything. You might listen to this. This would be easy for you to do. Just say, yeah, come in, I'll do surgery, don't do anything, and send them home and see what happens. 2 years later, the patients who underwent the pretend surgery reported the same amount of relief from pain and swelling as those who received actual treatments. They thought they got the treatment. They believed they got the treatment. And started living as if they got the treatment. I wouldn't put that on my marquee on front. You'll get no treatment, but I'll charge you just as much. Why did that happen? You know why? Because of the brain. It was determined their brains were conditioned to expect improvement, and they experienced improvement. And now, if we can concur that such happens on a natural level, what do you think God can do when our faith is involved? With a God who can and will do what we need to have Him do. My desire for you as we go through these 4 weeks and then on and on is that as a body of believers, we grow in our faith. As a body of believers, that we get in the habit of expecting good things from God. And we begin to believe that God wants to bless us. And that He wants to bless you. He wants to demonstrate His goodness and His mercy and His power where you're the most vulnerable. He wants to demonstrate them where you're the most helpless. And He wants to demonstrate we have the greatest vacancy in your life. He wants to bless you. And we see it again and again in the Gospels. That means that you can go as far in life as your faith is strong enough to take you. because you become what you believe. So this morning, let's decide to put our faith in God, especially in the areas of our greatest needs, and let him work his power in us. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are a wonder-working, powerful God. You do things that we can only realize through faith in you. And it's your desire to do that. So, Father, the greatest need that some of us have in this room, perhaps, is to know our eternity is secure, to know that our sins are forgiven, and that we are righteous, that we are justified, that we are sanctified in you. Today, that is possible. Today, someone only needs to believe, to confess their sin, to repent, to turn away from it, and turn to you and say, Jesus, would you be my Savior? Would you be my Lord? Whether they're in this room or whether they're online with us, they just need to acknowledge those things. And in faith, believe that you can and will forgive their sin, that you will save them, that you will wash them whiter than snow. So, Father, we pray for their salvation right now. There are others who are needing a miracle in their lives, in relationships and finances, in health and in all jobs and all kinds of different issues. And Father, it is your desire to meet those needs in their lives, to protect them, to use them, to glorify your name in their lives. Let them today, in expectation, begin to trust in you for those answers. So, Father, now as we come to decision time, we pray that we would all make that decision to trust in you for whatever that vacancy is. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you today, won't you come?
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.